in hindsight, what they should have done.
Well, I want to thank you both for being with us. Silvio Carrillo, the nephew of the nephew and Beverly Bell, the close friend of Bertha Caceres. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us.
And welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal. My name is Jay Koronick, station advisor here at WHFR.FM, the station making waves, live from Henry Ford College. All-volunteer independent radio, that's what you're listening to in today's special show. Did we say it's WHFR Dearborn? Yes, I think we did. Today's special show is going to be devoted to the annual Dearborn State of the City Address, which, incidentally, did not happen this year, live, as a public gathering, because of inclement weather, supposedly last Wednesday night. And I say supposedly is because, you know, I've been around like a half a century in Detroit area here, and an inch and a half of snow and slush is not, a problem, you know, as I see it. Yes, you're going to get your footsies a little wet unless you're wearing booties. But excuse me, it wasn't a crisis. Now, the next morning, I happen to agree. There was a great editorial in the Dearborn Press and Guide from last week, an opinion piece from Glenn Maleko, who's the Dearborn Public School Superintendent, who doesn't believe in snow days, but he had to explain at great length, in fact, why he did call last Thursday a snow day. And I understand, because a lot more snow did fall, and all that slush from the night before did freeze by last Thursday morning. And, of course, Henry Ford College was closed because things were a little treacherous on the sidewalks here on campus, too. And that's a factor, as well as the sidewalks leading to the public school. So in any event, the State of the City Address was called off due to inclement weather, and what they decided to do, since it was not going to be Mayor O'Reilly talking all the way through, but this time a panel that was responding with comments and responding to a few questions from Mayor O'Reilly about the different areas of Dearborn that they are involved in. And so they videotaped it all at some point. Whether it was last Thursday while everything was closed or over the weekend, I'm not sure. Maybe they just all showed up Wednesday night themselves, because after all, it was only an inch and a half of slush. And so maybe they videotaped. But anyway, they videotaped it all, and it's now running on Dearborn cable access channels. Whether you so check your local service, whether it's WOW or and I'm not sure WOW, I think WOW has an access channel somewhere there, and certainly, you know, Comcast, also known as Infinity, they're running this show several times a week on different days and times, so just call your cable company or call the information office at the City of Dearborn and see what they say. Okay, so the people that you're going to be hearing in this presentation, which I'm going to play straight through, runs 47 minutes. Don't want to interrupt anything. Don't you get lost. Besides John B. O'Reilly Jr., our mayor, the other people joining him are Ghassan Ahmed. He's a youth commissioner and one of the organizers of the Real Dearborn March, trying to do a public display a few weeks ago that Dearborn is a good place, and there might be some Arab Americans here, but by golly, there's nothing wrong with that. And I just remember it was very brave of them. A lot of students, it's primarily just students from the schools who were involved in that, and it was really cold that day, really cold. But they didn't call it off due to inclement weather. Jackie Lovejoy, is also joining the group. She's president, of course, of the Dearborn Area Chamber of Commerce. She's also a member of the West Dearborn Downtown Development Authority. And then number three person joining the mayor, Judith McNeely, member of the East Dearborn Downtown Development Authority and vice president of community and corporate engagement for Beaumont Health. Dave Norwood, number four person, he's our sustainability coordinator for the city of Dearborn. Mary Petchlikoff, chair of the Dearborn Federation of Neighborhood Associations. So we have all these neighborhood associations, and then we have an association that represents all the associations. So there you are. Everybody's got representation. Multi-levels. And Nancy Siwick, who is chair of the City Plan Commission. And finally, number six, Jeff Stassen, chair of the Recreation and Parks Commission. And so here it goes. Here is Dearborn's State of the City address. Get your pencil and paper out to take notes. Here it comes.
Welcome to a new format for the State of the City Address. I'm excited about having a conversation with community leaders about our accomplishments in 2015 and our direction for 2016 and beyond. Joining me are Gus Ahmed, the Youth Commissioner and one of the organizers of the Real Dearborn March, Jackie Lovejoy, who is the president of the Dearborn Area Chamber of Commerce and a member of the West Dearborn Downtown Development Authority, Judith McNeely, who is on the East Dearborn Downtown Development Authority and is vice president of corporate and community partnerships at Beaumont Health, Dave Norwood, who is our sustainability coordinator and a liaison with the Healthy Dearborn Initiative, Mary Petchlikoff, who is the chairperson of the Dearborn Federation of Neighborhood Associations and is on the City Beautiful Commission. And of course, she is also a member of the Dearborn's Board of Education. Nancy Siwick, chair of our City Plan Commission, and Jeff Stassen, who is chair of our Recreation Commission. I've asked them to be part of this presentation because I've never been comfortable with the idea that the state of the city seemed to be, in some ways, a way to focus too much on me. Working with the City Council, my role in the success of our community is to provide vision and direction, to facilitate progress, and to make sure we have the resources to achieve our goals. How we actually get that work done is through collaboration. Now, the most important collaboration is with our City Council. Of course, there are plenty of other elected officials and outstanding city employees who are working on your behalf every day. But do you know that we also have more than 200 volunteers serving on 30 city commissions and boards? Now, they devote more than 6,000 volunteer hours every year to the good of our community, and they do it without pay or prestige. They often are the face of the city for residents seeking resolutions for big issues in their lives, like wanting to open a business or put an addition onto their home, or improve traffic safety in their neighborhood or street. It is primarily at the local government level that commissioners actually have the authority to make real decisions, so our commissioners are a crucial part of our democratic process. The panelists up here are just a sampling of the talent and dedication that we are fortunate to have in Dearborn. And here is a quick reminder of some of the things we've accomplished together in this past year. We dramatically increased occupancy rates in our two Michigan Avenue downtowns. We've eliminated user-paid parking, created new business authorities on Warren Avenue and Dix Verner area. With leadership from the City Council, we added more appeal to our business districts by stepping in to reduce litter and weeds, and we strengthened property maintenance and snow removal requirements. With the Economic and Community Development Department and our downtown authorities, we've initiated a branding campaign for our downtowns and all of the Michigan Avenue corridor. We've restructured city departments to better serve those who want to invest in Dearborn, make improvements to their property, and maintain their homes and business in an appealing standard. We've continued our investment in our neighborhoods by replacing and repairing roads, water mains, sewers, and sidewalks, planting trees. We've added splash pads to our neighborhood parks with more to come. And we've built more resort cabins at Camp Dearborn, again, with more to come. We've kicked off our first Healthy Dearborn event, and that has more to come over the next few years. And we've set in motion the further development of a signature animal shelter, took early steps to building a modern dog park for the whole community, and increased the effectiveness of our street sweeping program. We've enhanced maintenance of our sewer infrastructure, and we've significantly expanded the library's digital offerings of movies, books, and magazines for all platforms, and went from a few digital musical titles to 270,000. Offered laptops for checkout and installed 100 upgraded computers for our library patrons. We've increased our community outreach to boost our followers on all of our social media accounts. We've added Nextdoor to the communication mix and continue to recruit more subscribers to Nixl for public safety information. We've responded to 13% more calls for our fire department and still beat the national standards for response times. We've added police officers in our schools, and we've increased our officers' activities in our neighborhoods. We've reduced serious crimes by 5.6%. We've laid the groundwork for construction of our new Veterans Park and War Memorial, and are looking forward to the dedication of this landmark project on Memorial Day. And we've accomplished all that while still being good stewards of your taxpayer dollars. We continue to leverage tax dollars through county, state, and federal grants to help supplement recreation, shared services, and public safety improvements. In fiscal year 15, we were awarded competitive grants totaling $8.4 million. And in 2015, we moved forward with public safety initiatives funded by grants worth $2.25 million. Despite these and other efforts to stretch our tax dollars, we certainly have financial challenges. Even as the economy recovers, we are still impacted by the archaic way in which municipalities are funded in our state. Acting together with the City Council, we've been able to maintain a healthy fund balance, and that's good news. We know we need to provide not just a balanced budget, but real value for your tax dollars. Now, one of the best ways to increase value is to collaborate with other communities and agencies and share certain services in ways that just make sense. We've already had success with doing business like that, especially in our public safety outreach. Our police department originated the idea and was the lead department for Operation Blue Light, a multi-jurisdictional approach to crime prevention, now including 70 agencies in 4 counties. In 2015, their combined efforts resulted in 1,000 felony arrests in this region, and combined, officers picked up more than 1,500 people wanted on outstanding warrants across the area. Now, this is good for all of us because we know crime has no borders. It's no wonder this Dearborn-initiated program is recognized as a best practice by the U.S. Department of Justice. We pursued and received $3.2 million state grant dollars in 2014 to pay for new radio hardware for every police officer and firefighter to improve emergency communication between public safety personnel. Now, this will help us meet the state's mandate for all public safety departments throughout Michigan. And this is really important because if we hadn't gotten the grant money, we still would have had an obligation to meet that standard. So it really helped us financially. And our consolidation with Melvindale Fire and EMS has improved safety and efficiencies for both of our communities. We've been collaborating with Dearborn Heights to share services of our MIS department to the financial benefit of both communities, And now we'll expand that partnership to cover our courts and police department. Funded by a federal grant, we're anticipating a new emergency dispatch center to serve us and the area communities here at the Dearborn Administrative Center. These types of shared endeavors strengthen our ability to deliver crucial services. And we know that the most crucial services we deliver are in support of our neighborhoods. As we think about our combined efforts with other communities, with our own commissions, and with our partners, we must always be focused on strong neighborhoods. The foundation of our community success is being a great place to live. This year, we've seen an increase in property values in Dearborn, and that's a positive sign for us because it means there is demand for our homes. Now, you'll get your assessment notice probably by early March reflecting these changes. But I do want to point out that while many people will see that there's a big improvement in their state equalized value, often known as SEV, for their property, they won't see much of an increase in their actual taxable value, meaning what's used to decide how much you pay in taxes. And that's an important thing to recognize. Most people will view that as good news, and I understand that. As well as in all the communities of the state, we've taken a big hit in our tax revenues since the national recession. And that continues to have an impact on our operations. And we have some special considerations in Dearborn because we are a city that's very mature and has mature housing that was built for the demands of industrial and commercial growth in a post-war era. Plus, the standards of care and expectations of property owners are not as commonly accepted across the board as they used to be in the past. So we need to rely more and more on our citizens to help us drive these efforts. And fortunately, we did see citizens take extraordinary initiatives in 2015 to improve our neighborhoods. The Federation of Neighborhood Associations, which is the umbrella organization for 20 active associations across our city, plays an important role in strengthening our community. Mary, as chair of the Federation, what are some of the ways that the city and residents work together?
The Federation and our associations are strong advocates for preserving the quality of life here in the city of Dearborn, and we provide another voice for our residents' concerns. One of the most important issues the Federation and the neighborhood associations deal with regularly is property maintenance. We work closely with the city to help identify areas of concern that need extra attention. We also work at helping to educate our neighbors and about their responsibilities and direct them to the city resources so they have information that they need. We understand it can be frustrating on both sides. Quite frankly, we hear from people regularly saying that the city isn't aggressive enough about ticketing for things such as tall weeds and grass and litter, trailers in the driveway, and other eyesores. And I've been one of those people who've been known to complain, quite frankly. And then we have the other residents, some of them are our frequent customers, who feel that they're being picked on or harassed on a regular basis for being written up for a violation. So we recognize that our city inspectors have a tough job. The Federation tries to strike a reasonable balance in expectations, keeping in mind that we all want to live in a well-maintained, safe, and attractive environment. We were happy to see the mayor and city council putting more resources into our inspection teams last year, adding 6 more field inspectors for a total of 27 across the city. And we know that they're out in the neighborhood spotting and resolving problems. More than 25,000 cases were opened last year for things like trash, weeds, litter, prohibited vehicles, and improper outside storage. That's about 100 cases a day. The inspector's first step is not to penalize, but to educate. On those occasions when it doesn't, 91% of the cases are resolved voluntarily, and only about 1% result in actual tickets. Both of the Federation and the city want to increase our educational efforts to reduce the number of issues that occur in the first place. We were also glad to see the Southeast Dearborn hold their second neighborhood cleanup in October. They had enthusiastic participation from all ages, including students, and they even had former residents return for this event. Of course, there was widespread support from the schools, the cities, and the businesses. And following that example, the Eastport neighborhood hosted their first grassroots effort last May. I'm also on the City Beautiful Commission, and we encourage people to take responsibility for the look and cleanliness of our community. We're changing the emphasis of our school programs to move away from just doing cleanup parades, and we want to inspire our students to take more concrete actions to keeping our city appealing. And while property maintenance remains a priority with us, we also share ideas and concerns with every city program that impacts our community, from traffic safety to library resources to recreational opportunities and the development of the business districts. You will find our members weighing in with the city. The DFNA is also looking forward to closely working with the new Property Maintenance and Development Services Department, formerly known as Residential Services. We expect better customer service and better results with this change, and are encouraged that the administration and City Council are allocating appropriate resources for these additional essential areas. Our associations recognize the importance of well-maintained neighborhoods that add values to the properties, as well as providing a great quality of life for the city.
Okay, and we want to thank you, Mary, and everybody involved in your process, and we want to encourage people to invest in their properties, just as the city has actively been investing in our neighborhoods. One of our most impactful programs is offering for sale the vacant lots that we've acquired that are less than 40 feet and therefore not really buildable. We sell them so that they can be added to the property of adjoining homeowners who then can build driveways, garages, maybe add a family room. They have a bigger footprint in which to stay and make their family work. And it reduces the congestion in many of our older neighborhoods. And also by creating larger lots, we can accommodate modern, more spacious houses and keep our neighborhoods appealing for home buyers in the future. Nancy, how does the City Plan Commission help preserve the character of our neighborhoods while encouraging investment in them?
The City Plan Commission makes decisions about how property is going to be used in Dearborn. Among the ways we do that is through site plan reviews, compatibility reviews, and by responding to requests for special land uses, alley vacations, splitting and combining lots. Whenever we are considering a new proposal, we keep in mind the impact upon our neighborhoods. We encourage people to build new homes or expand or modernize their homes. When they do so, one of our jobs is to look at compatibility issues. We do understand that some neighbors don't like changes on their block, but we also know that new investment adds values to the surrounding neighborhoods. Applying consistent standards is one way we respect the character of our neighborhoods while helping to move our community forward with updated housing. As you said, Mayor, the program to increase the size of residential lots has steadily been improving our neighborhoods, creating 127 side yards since the initiative began. We try other ways to make progress in our neighborhoods. Sometimes that means looking at our commercial districts to see how updating our zoning codes for businesses can also benefit adjoining neighborhoods. Last year, we took a close look at the commercial areas along Ford Road. We examined carefully what appropriate businesses and uses would be allowed on this major state road, keeping in mind that they also abut homes. We rezoned the strip immediately along Ford Road to allow a little more intense business activity than before, while still prohibiting commercial intrusion into the adjoining neighborhoods. The City Plan Commission is always concerned about protecting the neighborhoods from traffic, noise, light that are generated by business. And that's important because we are a very built-up community. Some 98% of our city is developed, so there isn't too much open field for investment. I think it is important to note that as we look at land uses in our city, our guiding force is our city's master plan for 2030. It was approved in 2015 after extensive stakeholder input and focuses first on ways in which to preserve and upgrade our neighborhoods. It will help us meet the housing demands of today and in the future, including offering choices to respond to demographic changes in age, income, job mobility, and household composition. The master plan suggests ideas to make sure our neighborhoods are inviting for vehicles, walkers, bicyclists, and people of varied abilities. And it sets out a roadmap to strengthen connections within and between the neighborhoods, while still promoting their unique character.
Preserving our neighborhood's distinctive qualities is very important. And I think we need to recognize that the definition of neighborhoods is evolving in our town, like the successful 200-unit student housing complex for the University of Michigan, Dearborn. Our newest neighborhood is the ArtSpace City Hall Lofts. Judith, the East Dearborn Downtown Development Authority has been essential in making the ArtSpace project a reality. Can you tell us what's happening there?
Mr. Mayor, we are tremendously excited that ArtSpace is starting up at City Hall, with more good things about to happen. ArtSpace has 35 successful sites around the country serving 1,300 artists and their families. It's been transforming underused properties into live, work, and exhibit spaces for artists since 1979. They're actually the largest nonprofit real estate developer in the country, so they certainly know what they're doing. Ours is the first art space in Michigan, so we are breaking new ground. And a great advantage of art space is that it will repurpose City Hall. While preserving the traditional look of the exterior, City Hall's appearance will always be protected by historical designation. 14 artists already have moved into City Hall, and we are anticipating most of the 53 units to be occupied by spring. In the near future, the 25,000 square feet of the concourse will feature a business incubator, galleries, studios, and performance spaces. With progressive developments going on in Midtown Detroit and with Dearborn's own vibrant arts community, ArtSpace will bring more visitors into the East Downtown for exhibits, performances, and art education. And the big benefit is that ArtSpace residents themselves will be invested in the life of the East Downtown and in our whole community.
The addition of ArtSpace and all of its activities will enrich our minds and spirits. But we also need to pay attention to the welfare of our bodies to be a strong community. So now we have a broad section of our city working on Healthy Dearborn Initiative, which is another terrific collaborative endeavor. Dave, would you please help us understand a little bit more about this enterprise?
Yes, Mayor, I will. The Healthy Dearborn Initiative is a collaborative between Beaumont Health, the City of Dearborn, and the public schools. It's a groundbreaking effort for us, as we've never worked together, these three entities, on something so broad a scope throughout the city. So we're very excited about what it can do for our city and some of the things it's done already. So let me give you a little bit of background of kind of how it started and why it's important to us. Well, Beaumont Health did a community health needs assessment and identified four areas of our community that they need to take on. First is diabetes, cardiac care, obesity, and access to health care. To take this on, they brought together 100 different stakeholders within the city of Dearborn, representing many different segments of our society, of our whole community, to meet and tackle these things. They broke down in several different work groups to tackle different areas, whether it's transportation, the schools, healthy foods, healthy workplaces, or healthy recreation. They've already met three times. They've already started generating their action plans and how they're going to see the work that they're going to do in the city. You'll see some of that work this summer at Homecoming, where we'll be having an impact on the events and activities that you see at Homecoming. But we also did something this past fall that the mayor led for us, is a bike ride, where we had over 50 families join us together, and we did a bike ride throughout the middle of Dearborn, kind of on a cold and blustery October day, but everybody had a really good time. Mayor, we anticipate this to continue on as we go throughout the year. We expect this to be a 10-year impact, a 10-year commitment by Beaumont Health to us, to the city of Dearborn. So it's clear to me that we cannot be a sustainable community if we're not a healthy community.
Beaumont is a leading institution in Healthy Dearborn Initiative and in our community. Dearborn residents may have been wondering what this transition from Oakwood to Beaumont would mean for our community. Well, Judith, could you please give us some insight on what's going on and what Dearborn can expect?
Beaumont Health celebrated its first birthday last September, highlighting how far we've come since Beaumont Health System, Botsford Healthcare, and Oakwood Healthcare came together as one organization. Beaumont Health has 8 hospitals, 168 health centers, nearly 5,000 physicians, 35,000 employees, and 3,500 volunteers, all dedicated to supporting the health and well-being of residents and communities throughout Southeast Michigan. Our hospital on Oakwood Boulevard opened its doors more than 60 years ago. As Beaumont Hospital Dearborn, we will continue to provide patients with compassionate, extraordinary care every day. Last March, after months of cleaning, planning, and construction, we reopened the emergency department at Beaumont Hospital Dearborn. The ED suffered millions of dollars in damages during the historic floods in Southeast Michigan in 2014. The renovated ED at Beaumont Hospital Dearborn offers many new facility and service improvements, including 8 fast-track triage bays for assessing and managing minor illnesses and injuries, dedicated radiology services to eliminate the need to go to a different part of the hospital for CT or general x-rays, improved ambulance bays providing better access for emergency responders, a well-designed, welcoming entrance and waiting area featuring healthy snack options, comfortable seating, and private spaces. These improvements will enhance an emergency department already known for its standard of excellence as a level 2 trauma facility with cardio treatment response times well below the national average. And more good news, last month, all patient and family parking areas and parking lots at Beaumont Hospital Dearborn are now free of charge. Providing our patients and families free parking at our hospitals and across the system is one of many efforts that reflect our commitment to patient and family-centered care.
And we're glad that our community is so well served by the Healthy Dearborn and by Beaumont. And of course, our own Recreation and Parks Department is one of the biggest proponents of health and fitness in our city. Taking its lead from the Recreation Commission, the department strives to bring the best value to our residents while making sure that we are providing a range of innovative recreation options for all ages, interests, and abilities. Jeff, what's on the horizon with the commission?
Thanks, Mayor. The entire Recreation and Parks Commission is committed to supporting Dearborn's vast array of recreation programs. We're proud that our Recreation and Parks Department continues to be accredited by the Commission for Accreditation of Parks and Recreation Agencies. This really shows a high level of professionalism, and we are just one of 142 agencies in the country and one of 2 in the state of Michigan. We really do strive for excellence. To help us get there, we approved our 5-year Recreation Master Plan. It sets a roadmap for us. Among the areas it emphasizes are the cultural arts programs and our growing importance on non-motorized trails and water trails. That is something kind of new for us. We're anticipating canoeing and kayaking in the Ford Field area, and we know it will be successful because we've had it at the homecoming, and it was successful last year, so we're really anticipating some success there. People also love the Rouge River Gateway Trail. And on the last beautiful warm day last week, I couldn't believe the number of people that were out there and enjoying the trail and having a great time. And that extension is expected to be completed this year, allowing runners, walkers, and cyclists to safely move from all the way from Ford Road to Ford Field. Soccer continues to be a growing sport, and we want our soccer teams to stay in Dearborn rather than to have to go elsewhere to get their play, especially in the wintertime. And so that the Recreation Department has sponsored an indoor soccer feasibility study, and we expect to have those recommendations this spring. Among our highest priorities is to make sure we are offering plenty of options for our young people and our young families. 2 splash pads were completed last year, and we expect a 3rd at Whitmore Bowls to be completed this summer. We also are making our playgrounds better, replacing equipment at 23 of our 43 parks in 2016, beginning with Elber, Bingham, Canterbury, and Edison. And for a new twist on recreation, we've been presenting enrichment classes and mini camps for our children. And one of our best success stories in the summer is the summer camps at the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center. Both kids and parents look forward to them. All 8 sessions were sold out this summer. We really think this works well because they are a modern evolution of our playground programs, which were so important in the past, and we are meeting the expectations of today's families. Of course, our focus isn't just on children and youth. Our fitness area continues to be well used. We have over 19,000 monthly visitors at our center. And one of the major improvements that we're really excited about is replacement of our weight equipment, and which has been done this past year and took the place of the original equipment from 2001. We're also renovating the Hubbard Ballroom with features to make it more elegant and versatile. We're doing this to meet the more sophisticated banquet hall standards. We all remember that it was the old roller rink, and also that residents can host celebrations and create family memories. In keeping with tonight's theme of collaboration, Mayor, and partnership, I really want to give credit to our 9 partnership organizations and our 6 cultural arts programs. Without them, we couldn't offer the robust variety of in-depth opportunities we have for physical, social development across all ages. The efforts of our recreation department, our commission, and our partnership groups help to make our community much richer in the choices Dearborn families, adults, and senior citizens have to stay healthy and have fun.
And while our recreation department offers so many dynamic options, there are plenty of other ways to get hearts pumping and feet moving in Dearborn. Now that's true for our residents and everyone who visits or works or goes to school here. You can walk our tree-lined streets, dine in our restaurants, shop in our stores, experience our nightlife, stroll through the visitors' attractions, and explore our downtowns. And after a busy year of progress in those downtowns, you just might be surprised at what you're going to discover. Jackie, would you please illuminate us?
I'd be happy to. Our occupancy rates in West Dearborn have soared over the last year, and we're expecting even more good news in 2016, with it rising to over 88%, and that's pre-recession levels. Among the businesses you may have seen in West Dearborn are the Nar Bar, Famous Burger, Brera Pizza, Stadium Restaurant, Los Galanas, Dearborn Brewing, Abbey Lane Condos, Brome Burgers, Lu Tai Cafe, Downtown Deli, Dearborn Brewing, Venture Title Company, and Paint and Pour. Some existing businesses also spruced up their properties. Bailey's Bar and Grill did a remodel. Beer Garden had extensive facade improvements. Kabuki Restaurant expanded its outdoor seating. And for 2016, expected openings include the Hampton Inn, Bar Louie, a bakery, medical office, a mixed-use project in the former Howells building, development on the former Brothers Tuxedo location, and Ford's Garage, which is a welcome addition to Dearborn and capitalizes on our automotive heritage. That's headed for the vacant property near the train station. We will still, of course, have our free outdoor concerts and food truck rallies at the Bryant Plaza, which really bring in a lot of visitors. We have almost 1,000 for each one of those, if not more. And, of course, the Chambers Farmers and Artisan Market every Friday during the season. We're glad to see the revitalization of West Downtown and eager to continue to be a part of the downtown branding initiative that will promote our fantastic, positive story about our community. Also glad to be a part of the Main Street program that's uniting our 2 Michigan Avenue downtowns. That was a fascinating study to be a part of. The Chamber has had tremendous success collaborating with the downtowns and our members for the Shop Small program last November, and look forward to more collaborative efforts with the West Downtown Development Authority and the East Downtown Development Authority. Meanwhile, the Chamber, you know we're busy. We enjoy being a leg of our community. We are promoting the Discover Dearborn app, which has more than 5,000 uses since last August. So we're very pleased with that. And the majority of users are business travelers. So that's wonderful. And then our events like Family Fun Day, Taste of Dearborn, our Teacher of the Year Awards, and our Community Scavenger Hunt. I know Judith can let us know all about the good things that are happening on the east side of town. Judith, can you tell us a little bit?
In East Dearborn downtown and surrounding area, we saw 8 new businesses open during 2015, and more activity is expected in 2016, especially as ArtSpace gets established. We already know ArtSpace boosted the selling price of the former 50-50 building along Schaefer. Several longtime businesses have invested in their properties. Alchemo's added a seating area, and Top Dog is promoting its popular jazz nights on Fridays. New businesses include Baba's Grill, Good Burger, Sheba Restaurant, Alano's Pizza and Subs, Salon New Look, Dream Fashion, Orient Bazaar, and Yogurtopia. Senior housing is also planned for East Downtown, and the property on Schaefer in front of Dearborn Town Center is under consideration for an art-related site to take advantage of Art Space's momentum. We will be continuing our incredibly popular Summer Jazz on the Ave concerts at City Hall Park. We've hosted as many as 3,000 music lovers in one evening. And we're looking to expand events at the park to bring in even more visitors to the business district. Like Jackie, I'm also excited about the branding initiatives and other collaborations between the two Michigan Avenue downtowns and look for visible progress in 2016. And I'm also glad to see that the two DDDAs will have more allies in boosting business districts in Dearborn now that the corridor authorities for Dix Ferner as well as Warren Avenue have been established.
Well, we're encouraged by the creation of the corridor authorities, too. I mean, that means that business will be determining the future of their commercial districts with the city's support. This is something that we've been working on for a long time, and believe this collaboration will have a huge boost in preserving and promoting these areas and tapping into their tremendous potential. As we look at our commercial districts, we also know that we've got to continue to modernize our approaches to business investment itself. I mean, one way we're doing this is through the state program called Redevelopment Ready Communities. Now, a huge focus of this program is to reduce barriers that may have hampered innovative business development in the past. Now, what are some of the ways that we are doing that, Nancy?
From the Plan Commission's point of view, it starts with thinking about how commercial property can be used within districts zoned for business like our downtowns. We want to concentrate on flexibility and agility and recruit desirable businesses by being less restrictive and more responsive. We've had successes with this approach already. Think about the Dearborn Town Center and even Art Space in East Downtown, and others are being proposed in the West Downtown area. The Plan Commission has had to review these proposals for mixed-use developments on a case-by-case basis. Having a consistent means of reviewing and approving multi-use proposals will give us more opportunity for economic development. This is especially true as we think about entrepreneurs and artisans who, by their very nature, are always thinking outside of the box. The master plan touches on some of the economic development initiatives that Jackie and Judith have referred to, such as unifying Michigan Avenue as Dearborn's Main Street. The master plan suggests we create a strong sense of place in our downtowns. A sense of place is something we have been hearing a lot about and acting on over the last few years. Among the tactical steps we can focus on is slowing traffic, projecting a feeling that plenty of activity is going on in our downtown, and encouraging social interaction. The master plan also has a vision for commercial areas beyond the downtown. They should become destination districts, places where people don't just go to get errands done, but to have some enjoyable experience.
We are certainly stewards of our developed landscape, but we must also be stewards of our natural environment. We've already been successful at laying the foundation for alternative energy projects and other green initiatives that have had the possibility to boost our local economy. We want to promote Dearborn as a forward-thinking community and one that is environmentally friendly. And that could help us attract even more young families to Dearborn. Dave, could you talk a little bit about some of these projects that we're pursuing collectively?
Dearborn, as you know, is we're considered to be a leader regionally, whether it's making sure that we can replace all our LED streetlights at a competitive price point, or at a state level where we're working with several state agencies to show that we can manage our energy and put together plans that keep our costs down on energy, or at a national level where we work with several different federal agencies, whether the Department of Energy or the State Department, on making sure sustainability is funded nationally that help us out at a local level. Dearborn has a seat at the table and is a leader in that effort. But some of the local projects, Mayor, that you're aware of that we're doing that I'd like to highlight today are, we received a grant a few years ago to do a waste-to-energy study. And what that means is we look to partner with the Great Lakes Water Authority, the former Detroit Water and Sewer Department, to use our waste that we generate through our sewage or other waste that's organic in nature to create power, to help power our industrial sector of our town, whether it's our steel mill or the F-150 assembly plant, or there's a power plant. Another project that's a little bit smaller in scale but no less important is Adopt-A-Watt, which is a partnership with a nonprofit organization where we were able to do three different projects in town where we replaced out energy inefficient lighting with energy efficient light in our downtown parking decks, in the parking lot behind the Henry Ford Centennial Library, and the parking lot behind the Dearborn Administrative Center. The project involved replacing lights from metal halide lights to induction lighting, which cut the energy use in half. This was funded via sponsorships through a collaboration between the city and the private sector in town. Another project that is in the throes of being worked on right now is in our East Downtown, where the East Downtown Development Authority is looking to renovate and change out the parking lots that are in the downtown, where they certainly need to be repaired, but the business owners are looking to do something more than just provide parking. They'd like to provide an opportunity for development, also to do this development in a sustainable manner. So we're going to be doing some parking lots with green infrastructure in a way that has never been done anywhere else in the state. So it's a very exciting project for us. We also were recently acted upon a grant that we received to plant trees in the city of Dearborn. As you know, Mayor, our trees took a beating when we had the emerald ash borer, where we have now received the grant to replace 125 trees on public rights-of-way where normally you wouldn't see trees planted by the private sector. Another recent collaboration that has paid fruit for us is a grant we received from the state to do community energy management, where it's a partnership between the City of Dearborn, the Southeastern Michigan Regional Energy Office, and EcoWorks, where we're doing planning to take on our electric bills so we can reduce them 10% a year over the next 5 years. And a really exciting project, much larger scale, that was recently passed and adopted by the mayor and the city council is a solar panel project. This is a groundbreaking project where we will be the largest solar panel project in Wayne and Oakland counties. It'll be almost a megawatt of power will be produced by panels that are on the roof of the Ford Community Performing Arts Center and carports that you'll see be constructed between the theater and the police and courts building. Another successful project that most residents are aware of is our residential curbside recycling. That project has resulted in an increase in 40% by volume of the recycled materials in Dearborn. But we want to go higher. We want to go higher than 40%. So we have partnered with the schools to do a pilot project in four elementary schools this spring to do recycling education, not only for the students, but for the staff in the schools to help them make this project successful.
Yeah, you know, school recycling is one of those great collaborations between the city, school district, and our young people. And that's something we can never do enough of. And tapping into the enthusiasm of our students is one sure way to keep us looking toward our future. Gus, you and other student leaders did a great job with the Real Dearborn March. I know that you are committed to making sure people inside and outside of Dearborn understand the true nature of our community. From your perspective, tell us why you believe in Dearborn.
Well, Mayor, as a junior at Etzel Ford High School, students are provided with an opportunity to learn, achieve academic success, and prepare for the future in the Dearborn Public School District. Many students I know have been accepted to excellent universities as a result of the chance to achieve success inside and outside of the Dearborn Public Schools. I have had a great pleasure to be taught by a few phenomenal teachers and be a part of a diverse population of minds and cultures that I can draw experiences and ideas from at Etzel Ford. There are also many groups that I am grateful to for giving me the opportunity to contribute to my school and community through. One great example is the Dearborn Youth Affairs Commission, for which Mr. Norwood is an advisor of. And on the commission, students at Dearborn Schools and the city work together. We create positive events like Dearborn's Got Talent, which bring people from all around Dearborn to appreciate the skills and the talents of our students. In March, we will be collecting books for refugees through the Books for Hope campaign in partnership with the Social Justice Club at Edsel Ford High School. Although I'm not part of this particular program, I can vouch that the Pockets of Perception, or POP, is an art program that brings together students from all of Dearborn's high schools. They learn about each other and work together to create public artwork that enhances our city. You can see their projects at City Hall, the Pocket Park, and the train station. They're powerful designs that reflect our community's traditions and unity. In Dearborn, we are united through our diversity. Many people are unaware of how our community works together so well. So in response, students from Edsel Ford, Dearborn, Fortson, and Divine Child High Schools came together through the Real Dearborn March to reject the stereotypes and negative media representation of Dearborn and promote Dearborn's true identity. Students and adults from all over Dearborn marched in the bitter cold, and while I carried the march's banner in my frozen fingers, I felt a deep sense of pride that my community would so staunchly support such a cause. Our diversity in ethnicity, culture, and religion only serves our Dearborn community with more perspectives to collectively work together and get things done. Our identities are a part of who we are as a community, but they do not define us nor stop us from coming together to share and communicate with each other. These organizations and accomplishments show the impact students' creativity and ingenuity can have if we are given the chance to contribute. Our diverse population only makes for a dynamic and talented environment where ideas can be fostered that other cities just don't have. As students, we know how great our community is, and we want to help make it better.
Well, thank you, and you do. And I know that we have a bright future because you've all already learned to collaborate and work together. The strength of our community is that we embrace each other as neighbors and friends. And we welcome anyone who chooses to be part of our Dearborn enterprise. We're always willing to build positive relationships based on our shared goals and to work together to create something lasting in our community. Our young people like Gus get that. So it should give us great hope for the future. As we've seen tonight, our future will not be determined just by what takes place here at the Dearborn Administrative Center. Rather, it will be determined by people like these community leaders here with me, and people like you who are engaged and have a stake in the long-term success of Dearborn. At its best, our form of government depends upon active participation and constructive collaboration. We embrace that standard and strive to live up to it every single day. Not because we have to, but because we want to. We make better decisions when we make them together. We foster stronger neighborhoods when we protect them together. We achieve more rewarding goals when we pursue them together. I'm very proud of all the accomplishments we've shared tonight, and of the promise of those we see in the near future. But I'm more proud of the path we've taken to realize those accomplishments. There isn't any challenge we can't overcome, any opportunity we can't leverage, any vision we can't attain if we are committed to working with each other as partners in pursuit of what's best for all. Our founders coined this concept, E pluribus unum, out of many, one. Here, we simply call it Real Dearborn. Thank you.
And there you have it, the State of the City Address for 2016. Mayor John B. O'Reilly Jr., joined by Ghassan Ahmed, a youth commissioner, one of the organizers of the Real Dearborn March, Jackie Lovejoy, president of the Dearborn Area Chamber of Commerce and member of the West Dearborn Downtown Development Authority, Judith McNeely, member of the East Dearborn Downtown Development Authority, and vice president of community and corporate engagement for Beaumont Health. I guess they're calling engagement. It's called engagement now rather than public relations because that's a nasty word, right? Creative language. I love it. Dave Norwood, Sustainability Coordinator for the City of Dearborn. Mary Petrikoff, Chair of the Dearborn Federation of Neighborhood Associations, member of the City Beautiful Commission and trustee on the Dearborn Board of Education. Nancy Siwick, who is Chair of the City Plan Commission, and Jeff Stassen, or Stassen, Chair of the Recreation and Parks Commission. And this presentation is available and will be rotating probably for weeks, if not months, on the CDTV public access cable TV website. Well, first of all, the city's website is cityofdearborn.org. You can watch the video of this right from that website, so you don't need a cable connection for that. And but it will be rotating on the cable access channels on both, I believe, Comcast and WOW. I think WOW still has a Dearborn cable access channel. My name is Jay Kornick, and today is March the 4th, 2016. This presentation was videotaped sometime about a week ago, to be my best guess, because they're editing on Monday and Tuesday of this week, and it started showing up on their website on late Tuesday afternoon and on cable TV at the same time. So were all your questions answered? I saw Mayor O'Reilly, I mentioned on the show, a couple weeks ago, and at a public event, and off the cuff, I asked him, how was our water supply safety? You know, like, do we have to worry about the problems they're worrying about in Flint? And he went on for a few minutes, had some interesting information about how we have some of the cleanest water in the state. But one would think that a major presentation like the city, a State of the City address, he would answer some of these questions. I would say they're like burning questions on the minds of the public. It's true that the city of Dearborn is working very hard with many people doing all kinds of good things for us. There's no doubt about that. But there are things that people would like to have more information about. I just want to direct your attention in the last 5 minutes of the show here today to the current issue of the Arab American News, which is available free throughout our community, even at the Dearborn Administrative Center, and of course the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center too, as a display stands for it. They have three issues in particular, that some of which I might cover more next week. We'll also check, of course, all the new papers. But I give credit to the Arab American News for actually having a reporter at a city council meeting. Imagine reporting on a city council meeting in a local paper. I mean, it hasn't happened for many years since they stopped having that be a required beat for a part-time reporter, or even having a full-time reporter employed by the Press and Guide or the Times Herald newspaper. Gee whiz, stuff happens. Also, that reporter that covered the city council meeting for several months had to write the story in the current edition of the Arab American News that the council has been hemming and hawing and upping and downing whether or not they would have a statement about a resolution passed that welcomes Syrian refugees to the community. And it's a great article because it shows how politicians really can't make a decision at all. And finally, it's been tossed to the city lawyers. Can we officially welcome Syrians as a resolution? Well, it doesn't really have any effect. You know, even Governor Snyder saying, we're not going to accept Syrians in Michigan. He can't do that. It's against the law, Governor Snyder. It's a federal immigration issue. You have no say over it. You can say what you want. You have no legal power to ban Syrians, just like they don't have any legal power to ban Syrians or any other ethnic group into Dearborn. But would it look good or bad for the city? I think they're concerned about image. And it's a very interesting issue because although it doesn't bring up why our politicians seem to be so, just numb to the whole issue. But you could figure out, it wouldn't take much, that they're afraid of political ramifications. Maybe even nationwide or whatever, if they pass a dangerous resolution like that. Also, it was reported, and this is in an opinion piece by, I think his name is Phil Reagan, yes, a community leader here in Dearborn. He raised the question about the name change to, and we announced this on our show last week, to the Dearborn Animal Shelter. The Friends of the Dearborn Animal Shelter is going to be renamed Friends of the Animals Detroit, and something like that, mentioning Detroit, not Dearborn. And Councilman Cerini brought up in a council meeting, I'm not sure which one, council meeting the whole, that he thought we should, that was wrong. We shouldn't have given them $600,000 for the new building. Maybe shouldn't have given them $400,000 worth of land where the old train station is. And we're still paying them a contract of $75,000 a year to handle the animal needs of the community. And apparently he only got a few other council people to agree with him because there was no resolution to reverse any of that. But that is one of those community issues. Requires some discussion and decision-making. Maybe if it was a public relations issue of why the Friends for the Dearborn Animal Shelter wanted to widen their scope, maybe it's a scope they've already widened. They were already taking animals from all over the place and placing them all over. And they want donations from all over, too, to help their activities. So I'm sure the more general name, Metro Detroit Animals, certainly would help them in that cause. But some people get bent out of shape about it. There's politics involved, and highly recommend that you do read the Arab American News on a monthly basis, on a weekly basis, folks. And there's free copies all over Dearborn at the Dearborn Administrative Center, at least, and also at the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center, because at least they have two or three stories in there that are actually covering some questions of the day. There's also a whole question about in their editorial this week at the Arab American News about transparency in government, which is always a good thing, because they've asked some questions of city government and haven't got a couple responses to things that seem pretty straightforward and pretty simple. So challenge yourself, think about things. Lastly, I want to mention, this is WHFR Dearborn, and also that there's an election Tuesday. It's a primary where you can either vote on the Democratic side or the Republican side. Polls are open from, I think it's 8 in the morning till 7 at night. 7 in the morning until 8 at night. You do have to have a government-issued photo ID at the precinct in order to vote, but you can also vote tomorrow, March 5th, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., if you go to the city clerk's office in Dearborn Administrative Center, if you're a resident of Dearborn, of course. Be sure to have all your ID with you, of course. But you can actually receive your absentee application, which now you can do for any reason. That's right, any reason. You don't have to be a certain age or promise to be sick or anything like that. So by all means, if you're going to be busy next Tuesday between 7 a.m. and 8 p.m. and you can't go vote in your local precinct here in Dearborn, you can come by the city clerk's office tomorrow. Maybe even today until 4 o'clock probably, but hurry down there if you want to do it today. It's a democracy, folks. Let's be part of the game, okay? Do what we can. Otherwise, things will be done to us, maybe. Take care out there. This is Jay Koronek, the new WHFR Journal. Up next, Highway 61 with very, very